Lesson 30, aorist passive participles and second aorist participles. In this lesson, we are going to finish our study of participles with the study of the aorist passive participle and the second aorist participle. Remember that a participle is a verbal adjective. Since they have the nature of verbs, the participle expresses the action of the subject in a sentence. Because they have the nature of verbs, they have two things. They have tense, which tells time, and voice, that is active, middle, or passive. Active voice being the subject doing the action to someone or to something else. The middle voice denoting that the subject is doing the action to or for himself. The passive voice, denoting that the subject is receiving the action of the verb. Participles also have the nature of adjectives. An adjective is a word that modifies or describes a noun. Being adjectives, participles have three things. They have gender. That is, they tell whether it's masculine, feminine, or neuter. Secondly, number. That is, singular or plural. And thirdly, case. So as a verbal adjective, it also has case, nominative case for the subject of the sentence, genitive case showing possession, dative case showing the indirect object, to or for whom the action is being done, the accusative case, which is the direct object, which receives the direct action of the verb, and the vocative case, which is the case of the direct address. As with other adjectives, participles agree with the nouns that they modify in three ways: gender, number, and case. So there's a match. Whatever noun the participle is modifying will agree with the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. Now for the aorist passive participle. There are two differences between the aorist passive participle and the aorist active and middle participles. In our last lesson, we took the aorist active participle and the aorist middle participle. We are now going to study the aorist passive participle. The two differences between the passive versus the active and middle, first of all, the voice is passive. The aorist active participle means that the subject is doing the action to someone or to something. The aorist middle participle meant that the subject was doing the action to or for himself. Now the aorist passive participle is that the subject is receiving the action of the verb. The second difference is the aorist passive is built upon the aorist passive stem. You remember when we studied the aorist passive indicative. The aorist passive indicative was built upon the aorist passive stem, which was a completely different stem than the aorist active and middle. In fact, in the indicative, the aorist passive indicative and the future passive indicative were both built upon the aorist passive stem. So with the participles, the aorist passive is on a completely different stem and system than the aorist active and middle. The tense of the aorist passive participle. The tense of the participle is in direct relation to the time of the leading verb. An aorist passive participle expresses that the action of the participle is taking place before the action denoted by the leading verb, whether the leading verb is past, present, or future. In other words, the aorist passive participle functions the same as the aorist active and middle. Because it is aorist, it denotes that whatever the aorist participle is expressing, that action or that event happened prior to or before the action that is expressed by the leading verb, even if the leading verb is past, present, or future. So if the leading verb is a past tense verb, The action denoted by the aorist participle happened before that time. If the leading verb is present, the aorist participle still denotes the action happening prior to the present tense verb. Or if it's a future tense verb, the aorist participle denotes the action should happen prior to the future event. The uses of the aorist passive with the article. It should be noted that the aorist passive participle functions the same as the aorist active and middle with both the attributive and predicate positions. When the participle is used with the article the in a sentence, there are two usages, the attributive position and the predicate position. First of all, the attributive position using didasko, I teach. The attributive use of the participle expresses what person or thing is being spoken of. And again, notice the note that we are emphasizing about the attributive position. In the attributive position, the participle will always follow the article. Attributive expresses characteristics or attributes. It's a certain kind of person that we're talking about. And notice in the examples that there are two ways to write the attributive position. The first one is, ho didakthes tauta anthropos. Didasko is a verb that means I teach. Didakthes is the aorist passive participle, nominative singular masculine. It's the having been taught these things man. It describes which man we're talking about. It's the man who had been taught these things. The passive voice denoting that he was the recipient of the action. Or, secondly, it could be expressed with ho anthropos, ho didakthes tauta. The man having been taught these things. Notice in both cases, didakthes, the aorist passive participle, follows after the article. Both are translated the same in English. The man who had been taught these things would be a smooth English translation. The attributive position emphasizes and expresses what man we are talking about. It's the man who had been taught these things. Secondly, the predicate position. The predicate use of the participle modifies the verb. So we're not describing attributes or character. We are modifying the verb. And remember, when it modifies the verb and it's used in the predicate position, the aorist participle denotes that the action is taking place prior to the leading verb. Notice in our example at the bottom of page 2. Didakthes tauta, ho anthropos, eblepon to kurion. After having been taught these things, the man was seeing the Lord. Didakthes indicates that he had been taught first. After having been taught these things, the man was seeing. Eblepon is the imperfect tense showing continuous action in the past. Even though in the past he was continually seeing the Lord, yet prior to that he had been taught. It was after he had been taught receiving the action, he was seeing the Lord. The substantive use of the participle. Like the article, the participle may also be used as a substitute for a noun in the sentence. Under our examples, we have been building and adding to our example list. And in this lesson, we are adding the aorist passive participle. Example, ho kalos anthropos. This is how a phrase would look to use all of the words in the sentence. The good man. It can also be written ho kalos, the good, but because the article ho and the adjective kalos is nominative singular masculine, It's masculine in gender, therefore it's talking about a man. The word man is understood. It's called the good man. Hologon, there's our present participle. It is the speaking man, or it's the man who is speaking. From last lesson, the aorist active participle. Ho akousas, the having heard man, or the man who had heard. In this lesson, it's ho didakthes, the having been taught man. Notice, ho, nominative singular masculine article, and didakthes is also nominative singular masculine. So the masculine gender, man, is understood. The having been taught man, or the man who had been taught. You do not have to use the word anthropos. Now for the augment and tense suffix of the aorist passive participle. In the aorist active indicative, this is not the participle, but the aorist active indicative, the augment epsilon is placed at the beginning of the stem of the verb. This is true only for the indicative mood. The aorist active, middle, and passive, that's our lesson, participles, do not have the augment. The aorist passive tense suffix, theta epsilon, is found throughout the aorist passive participle. Remember, the theta epsilon was lengthened to theta eta in the indicative. When we studied the aorist active, middle, and passive indicative, the theta epsilon of the aorist tense was lengthened to theta eta. For the aorist passive participle, the theta eta is now changed back to its original form of theta epsilon. On page 4, we have the aorist passive participle of luo. The translation of the aorist passive participle of luo is when or after having been loosed. The word been is added to it to show that the subject is receiving the action of the verb. After having been loosed, something else happened. The nominative masculine singular is luthes. Notice the theta epsilon at the beginning of the ending added to the stem of the word lu. The nominative singular feminine, luthesa, again the theta epsilon with the sigma alpha for the feminine ending. The nominative singular neuter, luthen, again, the predominant theta epsilon with the normal nu ending for the neuter. The genitive case, masculine singular, luthentos. Instead of lusantos of the aorist active, the sigma alpha is replaced by the theta epsilon. The genitive singular feminine, luthesis. Instead of lusaces, it's luthesis, that is theta epsilon, with your sigma eta sigma feminine ending for the genitive. Your genitive singular neuter, luthentos. The dative case, dative masculine singular, luthenti. Instead of lusanti, sigma alpha of the aorist active, it's the theta epsilon, luthenti of the aorist passive. Luthese. Instead of lusase, it's luthese. And notice the iota subscript. The dative singular neuter, luthenti. The accusative case, accusative masculine singular, luthenta. Instead of lusanta, or luonta of the present tense, it's luthenta, the theta epsilon of the aorist passive system. The accusative singular feminine, luthesan. The accusative singular neuter is Luthen. The vocative case. The vocative masculine singular is Luthes, same as the nominative case. The vocative feminine singular is Luthesa. And your vocative singular neuter is Luthen. The plural. The nominative masculine plural. Luthentes. Instead of Luontes of the present active, the Lusantes of the aorist active, it's Luthentes. The theta epsilon, which is the tense suffix of the aorist passive. The nominative plural feminine, Luthesi, your alpha iota plural feminine ending. And the nominative plural neuter is Luthenta. Your genitive case, plural masculine, Luthentone. Instead of Lusantone, it's Luthentone, theta epsilon of the aorist passive. Luthesone of the genitive plural feminine, and Luthentone of the genitive plural neuter. Your dative case, masculine plural, Luthesine. Your dative plural feminine, Luthesis. And your dative plural neuter is Luthesine. The accusative masculine plural is Luthentas. Instead of Lusantas or Luontas, it's Luthentas. The accusative plural feminine, Luthesas. And your accusative plural neuter, Luthenta. Your vocative masculine plural, Luthentes. Same as the nominative case. Your vocative feminine plural is Luthesi. And your vocative plural neuter is Luthenta. Now we're going to introduce to you the second aorist participle. Now you'll remember when we studied the aorist or first aorist indicative and the second aorist indicative, the only difference between the first aorist and second aorist is that the second aorist is built on the second aorist stem. Some verbs do not have a first aorist. They go through a stem change. Therefore, they have a second aorist form. Both the first aorist and second aorist function the same and are translated the same. The only difference being the second aorist is built on a second aorist stem. Remembering this, in our study now of the second aorist participle, the second aorist participle functions the same as the aorist participle. The only difference is the second aorist participle is formed on the second aorist stem. The second aorist active and the second aorist middle participles have the same endings as the present active and present middle participles. Same endings. The only difference is the second aorist participle is formed on the second aorist stem. The augment only appears in the indicative mood, so it has no augment. The second aorist active endings are the same as the present active endings. The second aorist middle endings are the same as the present middle endings, except that for the second aorist, it's built on the second aorist stem. We have the second aorist active participle of edone, which is the second aorist of horao, a form of blepo, to see. The translation of the second aorist active participle of edone is having seen. The nominative masculine singular is edone. Remember, the present active was luon. This is edone. The nominative singular feminine, edusa. The nominative singular neuter, edone. The genitive case, masculine singular, edontos. the genitive singular feminine, educeis. Notice the alpha, eta, feminine indicators in the feminine column. The genitive singular neuter, edontos. The dative masculine singular, edonti. The dative singular feminine, educe. And the dative singular neuter, edonti. The accusative masculine singular, edonta. The accusative feminine singular, edusan. And the accusative singular neuter is edon. The vocative case, masculine singular, edon. Same as the nominative case. The vocative singular feminine, edusa. And the vocative singular neuter is edon. In the plural, nominative masculine, edontes. Instead of luontes, it's edontes. The same endings as the present active participle, but it's attached to the stem of the second aorist, ed. The nominative feminine plural, edusai. The nominative plural neuter, edonta. The genitive masculine plural, edontone. The genitive plural feminine, edusone. The genitive plural neuter, edontone. The dative masculine plural, educe. Notice the movable nu. The dative plural feminine, educeis. And the dative plural neuter, educe, or educing, movable nu. The accusative case, the masculine plural, edontas. The accusative plural feminine is edusas. The accusative plural neuter is edonta. The vocative case, the vocative masculine plural is edontes. The feminine is edusai. And the neuter is edonta. You should review this lesson, become familiar with the aorist passive and the second aorist participles, and then move on to the reading of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, and the study of the aorist passive participle at the end of the pronunciation exercises. Lesson 30, Exercise 1, Pronunciation Exercises. In this exercise, we're going to read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. An example of the aorist passive participle is at the end of verse 18. The reason being is John 1, 1 through 18 does not contain any aorist participles. So an example is placed at the end of the reading. All of the material that we have studied in lessons 11 through 29 are now underlined and parsed in the text. It would be beneficial for you to take the charts on aorist passive participle, pages 45 and 46, out of the chart section of your notebook for reference as we go through this exercise. For these 18 verses, we're going to read these 18 verses and give light commentary as we go through. You might want to practice your reading as we stop to read each phrase rather than each word, each phrase. Beginning with line 1. N-R-K. Prepositional phrase in beginning. Ain. The imperfect tense showing continuous action in past time. Was. Hologos. The word. the article matching the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case, both being the nominative singular masculine, the noun logos being a second declension masculine noun. The article ho is proclitic, that is, it goes so closely with the noun that follows it as to have no accent of its own and is pronounced with the word, ho logos. Kai, the conjunction and. Line 2. Ho logos. Ein. Pros ton theon. Pros ton theon is a prepositional phrase. Pros is a preposition used with the accusative. In this case, the accusative case is ton theon, with the god. Ton theon is your accusative singular masculine. Theon is a second declension noun, masculine noun. Line 3. Kai, conjunction and. Theos, nominative singular masculine, again second declension masculine noun, god. Ein, ho logos. Houtos, this is a demonstrative pronoun, nominative singular masculine, the near demonstrative, showing this one, close by John. Line 4. Ein. N-R-K. Pros ton theon. Line 5. Panta. Third declension adjective, which we'll take in a couple of lessons. Diautu. D is actually dia, is a preposition used with the genitive case, translated through. Autu is your genitive singular masculine. Third person personal pronoun, him, through him. Agenito is a second aorist middle indicative. Of genomai, deponent verb, translated as an active. All things through him became. Since it's a second aorist, showing simple or single action in past time. Kai, conjunction and. Then the last word of line 5 with the first word of line 6. Choris autu. Choris is a preposition when used with the genitive case. Choris is translated without or separate from. The genitive case being your third person personal pronoun autu. Separate from or without him. Agenito. Ude. Hen. Ho. Gegonen. Line 7. En auto. Zoe, which is a nominative singular feminine, first declension noun, first declension being the feminine declension. Ain, in him life was. Kai, the conjunction and. Heid zoe, here the nominative singular feminine first declension noun zoe has the matching definite article, hey. The article hey is also a proclitic, that is, it goes so closely with the noun that follows as to have no accent of its own, and it's pronounced with the noun. The pronunciation is hey zoe. Line 8. Ain. To-fos. Fos being a nominative singular neuter. This is a third declension noun. And notice the matching article to, nominative singular neuter. Was the light ton anthropon of the men? Line 9. Kai, the conjunction an. Tophos. En te scotia. The preposition en used with the dative case, scotia being a first declension noun, again in the dative case because it goes with the preposition en, in the darkness. Line 10. Fine, which is your third person singular present active indicative, showing present and continuous action, is shining. Kai, conjunction en. He scotia. Here is scotia in the nominative case with its matching article. Again, the article he is a proclitic and is pronounced with scotia. He scotia. Auto. Ooh. Line 11. Kateleben. Kateleben being your second aorist active indicative, showing simple or single action in the past. And the darkness could not overtake it. Line 11 at verse 6. Agenito. Anthropos. Apestomenos, became a man who had been sent, line 12, paratheu, para is your preposition used with the genitive case. When it is used with the genitive case, para is translated from God. Onoma, which is a nominative singular neuter, third declension noun, name to him, onoma auto, Ioannes, John. Line 12 at verse 7. Houtos. Again, a demonstrative pronoun. This one or this man. Line 13. Eothen came. Second aorist active indicative of Erkomai. Since it's second aorist, it shows simple or single action in past time. Ace Marturion. Ace preposition used with the accusative case, translated for, and marturion, a testimony. Hina marturese, that he might testify. And then our next lesson, we're going to study the subjunctive mood. And we'll get hina used with the subjunctive. Marturese is the subjunctive case. Peri tu photos, concerning the light. Peri is a preposition used with the genitive, translated concerning or about. Tu photos being in the genitive case because it's used with peri. Hina. Pantes. Pestusosi. Then the last word of line 14 and the first word of line 15. D autu. Verse 8, uk, ein, akenos. Akenos is your nominative singular masculine demonstrative pronoun, only it's the far demonstrative. That one over there versus houtos, this one here. That man, tophos, line 16, al, hina marturese. Peri tu photos. Line 17. Ein tophos to alethinon. Notice alethinon, to alethinon. Match, nominative singular neuter article, to, and the nominative singular neuter adjective, alethinon, and the adjective matches the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. It is modifying the noun phos. So to, and alethinon all modify phos. The light, the true one, that is the genuine light. Ho. Line 18. Fotidze, again your third person singular present active indicative verb showing presently and continuously, is enlightening panta anthropon, every man, erchomenon, coming, here's a present participle, ace ton kosmon, into the world. Line 19 at verse 10. En to kosmo. The preposition en used with the dative. In the world, ein he was. Kai, the conjunction en. Line 20. Ho kosmos. The world. Diao tu, prepositional phrase, through him, agenito, a second aorist verb showing simple or single action in past, became. Kai, the conjunction and, line 21. Ho kosmos, the world, auton, him, uk egno, knew not. Egno is a second aorist of gnosko, showing simple or single action in the past. And the world did not know him, that is when he came. Line 21 at verse 11. Ace ta idia. Into the things of his own, eophe, he came. Again, eophe, showing second aorist, active indicative, expressing simple or single action in the past. Into his own things he came. Kai, conjunction and, hoi idioi, the ones of his own. Auton, him, u perelebon, did not receive. Perelebon being another second aorist showing simple or single action in the past. Him they did not receive when he came. Hosoi, de, conjunction but, postpositive, coming second in the sentence. Elebon, again second aorist form, simple or single action in past, but as many as received at a point in time in past. Line 24. Auton, him. Etoken, autois, exousion, techna, theou, genesthai. Genesthai is an infinitive, and two lessons from now we'll take infinitives. Tois pistuusin, to the ones who are believing, pistuusin being a present active indicative verb showing presently and continuously, to the ones believing, eis to onoma autu, into the name of him, preposition eis, used with the accusative, in this case it's an accusative singular neuter onoma. Line 26 at verse 13. Hoi uk ex haimaton, ex is actually ek, the preposition used with the genitive. The kappa is changed to a xi when it comes before a word that begins with a vowel. Exheimaton. Ude. Line 27. Ekthelematos. Sarkos. Again, the preposition ek used with the genitive. Ude. Ekthelematos. Line 28. Andros. Al. Ektheu. Again, the prepositional phrase. Egenetheson. Here is your third-person plural aorist passive indicative, meaning that these were people who had received the action from God. God gave them their birth. They were born out from God. They were the recipients of the action. Line 28 at verse 14, Chi, the conjunction and. Line 29, Hologos. Sarx, Agenito, Chi, the conjunction and, Eskenosen. Notice this is a third person singular first aorist active indicative. Both the first aorist and second aorist are translated the same. It's just that the second aorist is established on the second aorist stem. Eskenosen is the word for tabernacled. Because it's first aorist, it shows simple or single action in the past. And tabernacled, line 30. And hemin, prepositional phrase, among us. Chi, ethe asamatha, tain doxan. Line 31, autu. Doxan hos monogenus para patros. Para is a preposition when it's used with the genitive. Para is translated from. Patros is your genitive case, third declension noun from pater. Line 32. Pleres caritos chi aletheos Ioannes. Line 33. Marturei. It's your third-person singular present active indicative of martureo, showing presently and continuous action that John is still testifying. Peri autu. Peri is a preposition used with the genitive case concerning him. Chi. Kekrage. Legon. Legon being your nominative singular masculine present active participle, showing continuous action at the time when John was speaking. Line 34. Hutos. Ain. Hon. Apon. Apone being your second aorist active indicative, showing simple or single action in the past. Ho opiso mu. Line 35. Erkomenos. Emprosthen mu. Gegonen. Hoti. line 36. Protosmu, ein, line 36 at verse 16. Kai, ek tu pleromatos, prepositional phrase, ek used with the genitive, out of the fullness, autu, of him, that is, out of his fullness, hemes, pantes, elabomen, line 38, kai, karin, anti, karitos, anti being a preposition used with the genitive, karitos being the genitive of karis. Line 38 at verse 17. Hoti. Ho nomos. Dia moseos. Edothe. Hey, karis. Notice karish is a nominative singular feminine third declension noun, so the article matches the noun in gender, number, and case. So hey is a nominative singular feminine article. It is also proclitic. That is, the article goes so closely with the noun that it modifies that it's pronounced with the word. Hey, karis. Line 40. Kai. He aletheia. Dia Iesu Christu. Prepositional phrase. Dia used with the genitive. Translated through. Line 41. Agenito. Theon Udes Heorake Popote. Line 42. Ho Monogenes Huios. Ho, notice ho is used as a substantive. He's the one or the man. On, being a participle, showing existence, the one being or existing. Ace ton kopon, into the bosom. Ace being a preposition. The object of the preposition, ton kopon, into the bosom. Two patros, showing whose bosom it is. It is the bosom of the father. Ekenos, that one. Exegesato, declared him. Under aorist passive participles, line 44, we have a sentence, diakthentes, hupo ton apostolon. Epistuson ace ton kurion. The translation, after having been taught, because didakthentes is your nominative plural masculine aorist passive participle, passive voice showing that the subject is receiving the action, and since it's an aorist participle, it shows that it happened prior to the leading verb. Therefore, after having been taught, the word been showing the subject received the action, passive voice. After having been taught, then hupo is a prepositional phrase used with the genitive. After having been taught by the apostles. The leading verb, line 45, epistuson, they believed. third person plural, aorist, active indicative of pistuo, to believe. They believed in, literally, into the Lord, eis ton kurion. So, the leading verb, they believed, is past tense. Therefore, prior to that event of believing, they had been taught. So, after having been taught by the apostles, they believed into or in the Lord. You should study this exercise while going on to Lesson 31 and the study of the subjunctive mood.